You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Fluffy bread, fresh tortillas, classic burger buns, and so many carbs. Carb fear is real, but Hero Bread makes healthier versions of the carb-heavy favorites we love most. We're talking fewer calories, 0 to 2 grams net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and seriously, great taste. Made from a new recipe using heart-healthy olive oil and resistant wheat starch that acts as a prebiotic fiber to promote gut health, Hero Bread products have more of the dietary fiber and protein you want without the net carbs and sugar you don't. There's something for every craving. Sliced bread loaves, buns, and tortillas, plus monthly small batch drops of indulgent favorites with no compromise. Like the 2 gram net carb Hero croissant or the 1 gram net carb Hero cheddar biscuit. Don't skip out on your favorites. Just use Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co with code HEROPOD at checkout. That's HEROPOD at HERO.CO.
As a longtime foreign correspondent, I've worked in lots of places, but nowhere as important to the world as China. I'm Jane Perlez, former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. Join me on my new podcast, Face Off, U.S. versus China, where I'll take you behind the scenes in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. Find Face Off wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, delicious friends, and welcome to Who Did What Now?, the history podcast that's not your history class, with me, your host, Katie Charlwood, history harlot and reader of books. Now, I'm sure you can hear in my voice that it's still not back to normal, so I decided to be a little bit gentler with this week's episode, because the next one, the next one, is not going to be fun. It's going to be rage-inducing. Because it's Irish Heritage Month and it is Women's History Month. And as such, I have elected to discuss some horrific fucking history about women in Ireland, by women, against women. It's not going to be a fun time for anyone, but I'm going to do it because I promised I would. And so that's happening. But yeah, I'm still a little bit raspy. My voice still hasn't fully come back. But on the plus side, I did win an escape room, so I'm having a good time. Yeah, I had a fun weekend. I say fun weekend. I had a family emergency. So if anybody was looking to listen to me or see me even on the Nerdy Up North podcast, stuff happened. Couldn't get on, and it was a whole situation, but everything's fine, everything's good, let's not worry. But yes, so that was supposed to happen, and then on the Sunday I had to fly to Dublin and I almost didn't make my plane. So I'm literally at the airport. The woman at the check-in desk is phoning the captain, asking his permission to let me on the plane. And she's like, yeah, he's allowing you on, because you can't do an online check-in in this airport. You have to go in and physically do it. So I'm there, like, taking off my boots. And she goes, not your first rodeo, is it? And I'm like, no. And so I run from the checkout desk all the way down to security, throw my stuff in the tray, run through, do the weird stance that you do, and next thing you know, just like get my stuff back on and I leg it out the door, leg it onto the runway, and then run up the steps. And the air stewards were like, yeah, we watched you, because you can see the windows like all along the airport, like we watched you run through in your socks, like zoom. I got on the fucking plane because I had a date last night in Dublin. I went to Pink Restaurant. It was so good. Like, it was such a lovely time. And then we did an escape room and we won. And it was a good time. Remember how I said before, if he wanted to, he would. Let me tell you, this man, he's just early, he comes to pick me up. He books a day off work so that we can actually have this date, because this was the only day I was going to be free, like, for a good chunk of time. And so he was like, booked it off, done. And he was like, you've always wanted to go to this restaurant, so let's go to Pink. And I was like, oh yeah, I do want to do that. And then he booked an escape room for afterwards. And yeah, yep. Yeah. If he wanted to, he would. Okay, I'm just, I had such a good time. Probably one of the better dates I've had in the last, 2 years? Yeah. Yeah. Definitely one of the better ones. Speaking of dates, the dates for my shows have been released at this point. Most of them should be up. So, December. Why am I talking about December? No. April. Fucking April. April 25th, I'm in Fordham Lane in Dublin with the Shite Talk History Boys. The 26th, I'm in Brighton. Yes. Friday, I'm in 26th of April, I'm in Brighton with me, at the Caroline of Brunswick. On the 27th, I'm in Manchester at the Creatures of the Night Comedy Club. And then on the Sunday, I am in Glasgow. So the Glasgow tickets, they're not many left of those lads. They're going quite sharpish, so there's not a few of them left. But yeah, by the time this episode is out, I think all of those should be released. All those tickets should be out. So if you want to come see me, my Newcastle gig is it's going to be in November. So those have gone up. And I've got a few early bird tickets out for some of them. I think I've got a pay what you want ticket. Do I have an unwaged? I'm not sure. I had a selection because I was trying to be a little bit more ethical about the options when it comes to people being able to see the show, you know, come to see me talk about history. I'm sorry, I'm a little bit wheezy. I'm still a little bit not great. But yeah. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, let your jibber jabber in fact me. In fact you I will. But first, we've got to get our source on. Our sources are The Pirate's Breasts, Criminal Women and the Meanings of the Body by Sally O'Driscoll, AnneBonnyPirate.com, A General History of Pirates by Charles Johnson, Anne Bonny and Mary Read, Female Pirates and Maritime Women by David Victim, The True and False Stories of Anne Bonny, Pirate Women of the Caribbean by Tony Bartlam, The Republic of Pirates by Colin Woodard, She Captains, Heroines and Hellions of the Sea by Joan Druitt, and of course we have everyone's favourites, Biography.com and History.com. Are you sitting comfortably? Good, then let's begin. If you have been listening or watching me for any length of time, if you have been watching me for any length of time, then you'll know, it's creepy, it's like I've been outside the window with binoculars. No, if you've been listening for any length of time, you'll know that I bloody love pirates, I do. And I realise it's a very romanticised idea that I have, and, you know, my concept and perception of piracy, the golden age of piracy even, is very much born from novels and movies like the swashbuckling Errol Flynn. If you don't know who Errol Flynn is, he was an absolute bastard of a human, but a pretty decent actor. And in fairness, I think you can separate the art from the artist as long as that artist is dead and can no longer profit from it. But that's just my opinion. So I love the swashbuckling stuff. And I'm really going to blame, specifically, A Muppet Treasure Island and Tim Curry. It is their fault, mainly from my piracy obsession. You wouldn't steal a policeman's helmet. That is a niche joke. Like, three people will get, and they'll be like, yeah, I understand. You wouldn't return that helmet to his grieving widow. Very niche joke. So, yeah, I wanted to talk about pirates and one of the few documented female pirates from the golden age of piracy. I wanted to talk about something ever so slightly lighter than what's coming up, because this is a delight in comparison to what we're going to be reaching. And we are going to be talking about Anne Bonny, right? She's just wasn't even pirating. Like, she wasn't really being a buccaneer for that long, but she's around, and she's Irish, so I thought, let's start with her. You can really hear the shittiness in my voice right now, can't you? So we don't know, as may shock you, we don't know when she was born. Being a woman from the past, who is not noble. I mean, even with the nobility, we're lucky. It's a dart on a map, you know. But with this, at the very least, we have a general-ish concept of the possibility of her existing. But yeah, she was born in the late 17th century, so we're in about 1698 to 1700, like roughly about that is where we're thinking. So as far as, you know, we can guesstimate from the information provided. And she was born in Cork in Ireland. Now, Cork the county, not Cork the city. I believe that the assumption is that she's from Kinsale. That is what the records have suggested, and we're just going to go with it. Now, Anne here, she is an affair baby. Like, she is the result of her dad boinking the maid. Now, I feel like this is a power structure issue. Feels very, very creepy, you know. So her dad, William Cormack, he is a lawyer. He's a solicitor. He's, you know, relatively, you know, middle class, right? And he's doing all right for himself. He's middle to upper class, actually, because he's quite well off, right? He's doing all right. And he shagged the maid, Mary Brennan. And Mary gave birth to Anne. Now, Cormac, unfortunately, was married. I know, you're shocked. A man in the past. What? Yeah. So his wife becomes ill and ends up moving away to, you know, be cared for. And while that's happening, he starts shagging the maid because men have needs. Fuck off, right? So while his wife is away, you know, resting up and trying to do whatever, you know, he doesn't have any kids with her. They don't have any children together. And so he starts passing Anne off as his legitimate daughter, right? So it starts off as that. But, like, on a scale of zero to invading Russia in the winter, how stupid is your idea? Because your wife is ill. Everyone in the village knows she's ill, right? They know she's staying away. And you suddenly have a child? Like, you think people aren't going to put two and two together, pal? Like, his wife's family has money, right? And he's on an allowance from them. And he's like, okay, whispers are starting to go around that he's got a daughter. And so he's thinking, I've got to get the heck out of Dodge. And so him, his maid, and Anne, they all head over to England. And they go to London where he tries to set up a practice. And so he's training Anne up to be a lawyer's clerk, but he dresses her in boy's clothes and starts calling her Andy, like when they're out and about and around people, because he's like, what daughter is this? This is a boy. that I am training to be a clerk. No relation to me. What do you mean we've got the same nose? Don't know what you're talking about. So he's doing everything he can to, like, avoid letting people know, like, what's happening. But, this may shock you, the wife finds out and just cuts off his money. She's like, no. Well, she doesn't do it necessarily. Her family does it. Because, you know, she doesn't have that many rights being a woman in Anglo-Ireland, like. So, yeah, not great for him. Not great for anybody, really. So he's got no money, and his reputation is absolutely shocking. So he's got no other choice. He has to leave, and he has to go somewhere where he's not going to be affected by sort of British or Anglo-Irish society. Like, he needs a fresh start. And he gets one, but it's kind of rough. So him, Mary, and Anne, they all set sail for South Carolina. And off they go to Charlestown, right? I think it's just Charleston now, but back then it was Charlestown. So they make the voyage. And, you know, he's not a great lawyer over there. He ends up trading more so than anything else. So he's trading. And effectively he's, you know, raising Anne at this point to at least look like a woman again. A girl, I should say. Because when she's 13, her mother gets, is it typhus or cholera? She gets one of the diseases, you know, and passes away when Anne's only 13. And this leaves William having to look after Anne and raise her, but, you know, not doing the best of jobs. But he ends up trading and working his way up, starts with his paperclip, works up, I guess, and ends up with a plantation. And this is where he gains respectability, because he's got a plantation, he's got land, he's got slaves. Obviously, right? Doesn't he? Arsehole. But anyway, he's doing that. And as far as, you know, people in South Carolina are concerned, William Cormack and Mary Brennan are husband and wife. And Anne is their legitimate daughter. Wasn't born out of wedlock, wasn't an affair baby. Why would they think that? They have no bloody reason to think that. Because, you know, they've started fresh. So yeah, him ending up with a plantation is just, it's one of those fucking things, of course it is. And naturally, now that he's made his way up in the world, he needs a suitable match for his daughter. And he tries to get her sort of, well, he betroths her to some dude, and Anne's like, this man is boring, fuck this for a game of soldiers. And she runs off, she elopes and marries a poor sailor named John Bonney. And so they get married, and he is telling her tales of the sea and this exciting life they're gonna have. Because she's still quite young at this point. She's kind of teenage to early 20s. She's just full of love and life and wants to go see the fucking world. But also, she did grow up with a less than stable upbringing. Now, there are stories of her having a fiery temper, swearing like a sailor, because of course she does. Look at the company she keeps. And she was vengeful. And I'm all here for a petty bitch. But we can't, like, confirm some of the stuff she said to have done. So apparently, John Bonney was kind of eyeing up the fact that Anne was an only child and that her dad had an estate. So he was like, oh wow, that seems fun. But her dad, William, ends up disowning her and he's like, do not. I had a good match for you and you married this motherfucker. Like, no. And allegedly, she sneaks back onto the plantation and sets it on fire. Now, as much as I would love to believe she did this, I don't think she did. There's not any evidence in setting an entire plantation on fire. Kinda big news. Somebody would have said something. But yeah, she She eloped, she ran away, and her and John Bonney end up in Nassau, which I remember from the Black Flag games. Listen, Assassin's Creed, Black Flag, top tier games. Even though some of the stuff they've got in it is very incorrect, but some of it's really fun. So Nassau was known as the Republic of Pirates. You know, it was sort of like a sanctuary, a safe haven for, you know, buccaneers, privateers, and other such rogues to be able to live in relative freedom, right? But the governor, was it of Port Royal? Nope, that's with the Pirates of the Caribbean movie. No. He is the governor of the Bahamas. So yes, Woods Rogers, he is the governor of the Bahamas, and he hires John Bonney to basically bounty hunt pirates. Like, that was his gig. And so he was supposed to go around, collect pirates, and bring them back to the governor. And for the next 2 years, he is an absolute rat. John Bonney is out here selling out pirates and buccaneers and the whole shebang. He gets so many arrested. He leads, you know, the governor to him. And this really starts bothering Anne. So they've been married for what? 2 years? 3 years at this point? Not long. Because, like, she's still kind of a teenager, late teens at this point. And she is expecting a better life, which she's not getting. And while she's in Nassau, she spends her time in the taverns and the sort of general fun time areas. And she's drinking and swearing and hanging with all these buccaneers. And that's where she meets Calico Jack. Real name, John Rackham. But we're going to call him Calico Jack because it's cooler. So she's there. I'm not surprised though. Can you imagine being like, I'm going to show you some cool shit. We're going to go travel. We're going to have experiences. I'm a sailor. It's going to be wild. And we're going to hang out with pirates who are like the rock stars and stuff of the day. And she's like, wow, this is amazing. And then she gets there and she's stuck on a bloody island, right? Well, he's sailing out all their mates. Like, this is not exciting. Where is our adventure? Where is the secret waterfall? Like, where is it? Where is this? And then who does she meet but an actual captain, a proper privateer? Calico Jack. Strong, you know, adventurous. Of course she's fucking excited. And so not only does she meet Calico Jack, but she meets Mary Read. And see, there's something about Mary. I couldn't help myself. So let me tell you a wee bit about Mary Read. Now, very similar upbringing, actually. Or, well, their paths kind of run parallel to one another, I should say. So Mary Read was born around 1680-ish. So that late 17th century as well. So she was born out of wedlock as well. But bit of a different scenario. So her mother had married a sailor and gotten pregnant, had a son. And then her husband, the sailor, dies at sea. As far as we know, that's what happens. And when he's away, she has an affair, gets pregnant again, but this time with Mary. So her son passes away, you know, as an infant. But in order to protect Mary and to, you know, protect herself from the shame of having a child out of wedlock, she dresses Mary up as a boy whenever she's around, like, the grandmother, in order to sort of fool the family into thinking that this boy was still alive and that she had not, you know, had another child, obviously. Because the granny was still providing, like, financial support for as long as possible, and they were like, we need this, because, you know, workhouses and death are kind of the only other option, really. So, at this point, they kind of go back and forth, and Mary is just used to it, effectively. But when she's 13, I know this 13 comes up a lot, she gets a job as a footman, or a foot boy, I guess. You know, you tend to the carriage, the horses, you help the person in and out of the carriage, whatever else they do. I don't know what footmen do. Stand and look pretty, maybe. But so he starts working as that because they're dressed as a boy and they make a pretty convincing boy. And so that's what they're doing. And then gets a job on a ship. Don't know what kind of job. Maybe it's cabin boy. Him's to say. But so she starts working on ships and then she ends up joining, like, the Navy. Oh my God, I should have mentioned that Mary is English. She's born in England. I think, like, Newcastle or Liverpool. Somewhere where there's not a port too far away. Sunderland, maybe. You know, somewhere where there might be sea. I just have a feeling she's kind of more regional. It's got a regional accent. May not be inspired by, you know, the Assassin's Creed games. That's not the point. So yeah, she ends up on a British man of war ship. And then she ends up travelling to Flanders. Because she's just moving about the military at this point. So while she's in the Netherlands, Mary falls in love with a soldier. And they get married and they live a fairly normal life for a couple years. But then he dies. Of what? We don't know. It's very vague. Something Dutch. So he passes away from a case of the windmills tulip fever. I've just lost my entire Dutch audience now. They're going, hey, Godverdomme. Ish, it was much worse than windmills, eh? Yeah, I know. Like, every Dutch person is like, oh, God. Don't do the accent, Katie. It's awful. And it's... I'm sorry. But, yeah. He dies. And Mary's like, well, gotta go do something with my life.
Fluffy bread, fresh tortillas, classic burger buns, and so many carbs. Carb fear is real. But Hero Bread makes healthier versions of the carb-heavy favorites we love most. We're talking fewer calories, 0 to 2 grams net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and seriously, great taste. Made from a new recipe using heart-healthy olive oil and resistant wheat starch that acts as a prebiotic fiber to promote gut health, Hero Bread products have more of the dietary fiber and protein you want without the net carbs and sugar you don't. There's something for every craving. Sliced bread loaves, buns, and tortillas, plus monthly small batch drops of indulgent favorites with no compromise. Like the 2 gram net carb Hero croissant or the 1 gram net carb Hero cheddar biscuit. Don't skip out on your favorites. Just use Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co with code HEROPOD at checkout. That's HEROPOD at HERO.co.
I'm Jane Perlez, longtime foreign correspondent and former Beijing bureau chief for the New York Times. I've been a foreign correspondent in lots of places, Somalia, Indonesia, Pakistan, but nowhere as important to the world as China.
I mean, China is not dropping anti-democratic paratroopers into Montana. But of course, we did see things like the weather balloon / spy balloon riveting the whole country for a week.
This is Face Off, an 8-part series in which we'll take you behind the scenes to key moments in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. We'll speak with a diplomat, a spy, a tech reporter, a U.S. admiral, even Yo-Yo Ma. Plus, my pal and noted China historian Rana Mitter joins the conversation. We'll look at what's driving the two nations apart and explore whether anything can help bring them back together. Face Off launches April 9th.
starts dressing as a man again and is thinking, oh, maybe I'll do some military stuff. But, you know, the 9 years war is over. It's quiet. And so, in search of some adventure, Mary ends up jumping onto a ship and heads for the West Indies. Now, as this ship is getting closer and closer to its destination, it is boarded by pirates. And so they're like, join us or die. And she's like, cool, joining you it is. I feel like, as options go, probably the better one. And so she joins that, you know, does some piracy for a bit, but manages to receive the king's pardon, gets a wee job as a privateer, and heads back to Nassau. So Mary, Anne, and Calico Jack all cross paths on Nassau. Sort of, they've been overlapping, they knew of each other. Now, at one point, Anne starts to flirt with Mary and ends up like going, ta da da da, I'm a woman. And Mary goes, ta da da da, me too. So they exist and they start hanging out and they end up joining Calico Jack's crew. Now, there comes a point where Jack is noticing how close Anne and Mary are. And he's like, I'm here for pirates, not pirates. And he just straight up like attacks Mary, puts his hand around her throat. And she's like, no, dude, I'm a woman. And he's like, oh, that's fine then. I like to think of it as that sort of cartoon holding up and then just let's go. And she just like, poof, slides down to the ground and carries on about her day. But yeah, because Calico Jack and Anne, they've been having an affair for a while, right? And, oh yeah, Anne leaves her husband. Did I forget to mention that? Because she's like, bye-bye, Bonnie, bye-bye. Gonna keep your name, though, but you are a motherfucker. So she leaves him, and Calico Jack actually tries to buy John Bonnie off. Like, he tries to pay John Bonnie to divorce Anne so that he can marry her. And John Bonnie's like, no. And John Bonnie actually ends up threatening Calico Jack. Like, not the best of ideas to threaten the captain of a pirate ship. Just as a general rule, feels like not something we should do. No. They decide to say fuck you to that and they just bugger off on the ship. So when she initially joins the crew, you know, her and Mary are both dressed as men, and only the three of them know, like, what's happening and who's who, and that they're women dressed as men aboard their ship. And they very much keep this low-key for quite a while until it's clear that Anne is pregnant. So they end up having to stop off in Cuba for her to rest, and they go off and she stays in Cuba for a bit, gives birth to a son, if I'm not mistaken. Not really sure what happens to him, but she gives birth. And then once she's, you know, healed and doing better, she ends up rejoining Calico Jack on the ship. But this is where things turn a little bit, because around about this time, she divorces John Bonnie. Or he dies, or something. It doesn't matter. He's out of the picture. And she ends up remarrying. And she marries Calico Jack. And they get married on a ship, because of course they do. Like, Mary's there. Always the bride's maid, never the bride. Holding a bouquet of seaweed. Maybe she'll have a starfish in there for decoration. Some coral, perchance. Maybe pokey, but you'd be fine. So yeah, they get married. And they are out just living their best lives. Full on pirate's life for me. Yo ho ho. It's one for all for one. We share and share alike with you and treat you like a son. We're gentlemen of fortune, and that's what we're bound to be. And when you're a professional pirate, you'll be honest, brave, and free. The soul of decency. You'll be loyal and fair and on the square. And most importantly, when you're a professional pirate, you're always in the best of company. I would like to apologize to Tim Curry for destroying his song. But I regret nothing. And I love him up at Treasure Island. Go fuck yourselves. I'm fine. Everything's fine. So basically, they end up nicking this ship called the William. And so Calico Jack, Mary Read, and Bonnie, they like get together a crew. And when they're on the ship, like in general, when they're just kicking about, Mary and Anne are wearing just like normal women's clothes, like they're wearing dresses, they're wearing, you know, chemises, the whole shebang. They're dressing appropriately for their gender upon their ship. But when it came to, like, doing piracy shit, yeah, then they would dress in men's clothing, probably because it's easier to move around in. And also my favourite part. Now, this might be bullshit, but I really would like to think it's true. Because it sounds like something one of these women would do. It's something I would do if I wanted to, like, surprise somebody in this era. And it's when they were fighting, so they would wear, like, a men's shirt. I don't know why I tapped my chest as if you'll know what that is. But yeah, they would wear, like, a men's shirt with, you know, the long coats and whatever. And when they were sword fighting and swashbuckling and being, you know, just cool-ass bitches, they would sometimes, to distract or just for that extra bit of sass, to kind of go, look, motherfucker, Eowyn defeating the Wraith, like pulling off the helmet, going, I am no man, like going full on. They would just undo the tie at the front of their sort of blouse to show that they had breasts and just be like, look at these, wah, 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 wah. And so shocked would the men be. They'd be like, ah, breasts. Probably because they haven't seen a woman in months. And also because, you know, so pale. It's like the Beacon of Gondor. I have made 2 Lord of the Rings references in under 3 minutes. I have never been prouder of myself. But yeah, just flash their tits. Which, I'll be honest with you, is a good move sometimes, because it's misdirection. It's a good thing. I mean, don't do it all the time. Don't do it in specific public areas. Like, there are times where this is appropriate and funny. Like, this situation with, you know, pirates and swords. But not like at a soccer match. Don't do that. Don't do that. But yes, these lads are just swanning about Jamaica, and they are raking it in. And bear in mind that this period of time between, like, her giving birth, getting back on the ship, and them sort of travelling around the, you know, Jamaica and stealing a bunch of shit, you're talking a few months, 6 months maybe. It's not a full year. Like, it's a good number of months, but it's definitely not a full year. And so they're doing this, living their best lives. And the new governor of Jamaica is like, I need you to stop these arseholes. They're fucking up my trade routes. Because they're like out and they'll get one ship and it's like £170. And as a lie, it was like £10. And it's 170 quid in today's money. And then like the last ship they raided, they ended up getting, what was it like, £1,000 worth of, like, goods and money and whatnot, which I looked it up with inflation in today's money is, like, 170 grand. Like, it's a good chunk that they had, like, managed to pilfer and pillage and other words that begin with P. And they went and did that, and the governor of Jamaica is like, I really, really cannot be arsed with these guys. I need you to round them up. And so he sends off the sloops to go get them. And so, in October of 1720, I mean, Anne Bonny's going to be maybe in her 20s, 20s-ish. Yeah, not that old at all. And she's on the William, she's on the ship. And it's been a heavy night for quite a lot of the lads. And they are pissed as farts. Like, maybe they're just hungover, but they've been drinking. And the only three that really have any sort of wherewithal are Mary, Anne, and Calico Jack. And he's still not great. He's kind of iffy. But Mary and Anne, I was thinking about it. And, like, there's probably a damn fine reason why they didn't get drunk with a bunch of men. And it's probably a self-protection thing. Like, you wouldn't get as drunk as them because you need to be able to protect yourself. Because, I was going to say safety in numbers, but, like, if you compare those two of you against all these fellas, probably safer to have the upper hand in some way. Oh, and another thing Anne did, actually, was she used a fake name and she told people her name was Anne Fulford. Where she got Fulford from, I don't know, but it's, like, none of hers. So, yeah, they are on the ship. Woods Rogers, the governor of the Bahamas, he calls for the arrest of John Calico Jack Grantham, Mary Read, and Anne Fulford. Don't know where she got the name Fulford from, because it's not from her side. Because he is absolutely done with their tomfuckery. Because they're on this ship, the William, which they had taken, and they had renamed the Revenge, because it's a cooler name. Very emo. Like, what's your ship's name? The Revenge? Oh, wow. What's your ship's name? The Despair? Ooh. Lads. All you're missing is your 45-degree fringes and your spray-on trousers. But yeah, it's they're just causing an absolute commotion because they've gone around and they've attacked merchant vessels and fishing boats and generally made people a wee bit unhappy. And so they're kind of done with it. And they've taken this captain hostage and there was a woman on the ship named Dorothy. And Anne and Mary, straight up fucking vicious, are like, let's kill her because we don't want her to go back and say that we're here. And Calico Jack's like, we cannot just murder everybody. But we're pirates, though. But we cannot just murder everybody who just is around. Okay, hear me out, though. We're pirates, though. And this goes back and forth. And he's just like, no, let's put her on a canoe and let her live her best life. So basically, he has to overrule them. They're vetoed and Dorothy goes free. What happens to her after that? Not entirely sure. But, you know, Barnett's coming for them and he is on the Spanish succession. And coming for them, he is. Because shockingly, Dorothy gives him the information. She's like, oh, they were round about this area. And he actually listens to her directions and goes there. So he ends up anchoring in Bloody Bay. Yes, that's his name. Bloody Bay. And he waits. So naturally, the Revenge comes into anchor. And as I said before, everybody is fucking sloshed. They are drunk apart from, I think Mary and Anne are the only two who are like just pure sober. They didn't touch shit. So it's there in Bloody Bay, dark as shit. And in rolls up Barnett, and he's like, surrender! And Calico Jack's like, no! I'm sure it was more eloquent than that. But basically, he shows up, he's got a flag waving from his ship, and he's saying, you know, you gotta surrender, mate. And the captain is like, I will neither give nor take quarter. Which was more bravado than anything else because Barnett just fires some cannons and they just like smash into the ship. And so he's like, everybody down in the hold. So Calico Jackson and everybody trying to get down to like patch up these holes. And Mary and Anne are like, what are you doing? Is anybody going to stay up here and fight? Because, you know, they're coming aboard. And so Mary ends up screaming, if there's a man about you, you'll come up and fight like the man you ought to be. That was a very bad Liverpool accent. And so she is like screaming at people, like, fucking fight, pals. And so Anne and Mary are like swashbuckling, they're fighting for their lives, and they are doing their best to sort of avoid capture. But Barnett and his full-on crew of sober men easily overtake this crew. And so he deals with it, he captures them, and they're arrested. And they are sent to Port Royal, where they stay for a little while before being carted off to Spanish Town to go on trial. So they get to Spanish Town, and the first person to be sentenced to death, or at least one of the first, was Calico Jack. And on the 18th of November, 1720, he asks to go see Anne because he wants to see her before, you know, his short drop and a sudden stop. And she's like, okay, I guess. And he goes to see her. And instead of her giving him any words of comfort, you know, she says to him, if you had fought like a man, you need not have been hanged like a dog. Yeah, she was still pretty bitter about, you know, him making everybody hide and, you know, instead of fighting and leaving her to get captured, like, not super on it. So Calico Jack, he gets hanged later that day down at the Gallows Point. So Dorothy, the one they let get away, and then the original captain, Thomas, whatever they'd captured, like, they come out as witnesses and they basically damn the entire crew. Like, everybody's fucked. And most of the crew, if not all of them, are like, not guilty, not guilty. And of course, this isn't the modern law system where you have to prove shit. They're just like, yep, cool. You're getting hung. And this is just a big blanket sentencing for everyone except Anne and Mary. So basically, they're given the death sentence, right? Like, chunk, chunk, gavel, gavel. Gavel? No, gavel, gavel, gavel. So the gavel is hit and they're sentenced to death. And then they, you know, plead on their bellies. Now, the customs and rules of the time was that you couldn't, like, hang a pregnant woman. Like, you couldn't kill a pregnant person. Like, that's just not something you could do. And both of them were pregnant, you know. And so they had to have a stay of execution while they decided what to do, right? So Anne and Mary, they end up in an absolute shithole. I mean, it's a, you know, 18th century prison. Of course it's not going to be, you know, a spa day. So about 6 months later, Mary Read dies of what is called jail fever. Now, I've seen reports of it being typhus or just like complications from childbirth, like one of those, but she passes away. But Anne manages to survive. What happens to the baby, though? We don't know. We have nothing there. Now, the records are kind of funny. So because Anne's family was pretty well known, there are stories that her dad basically paid, you know, he bribed some people effectively for her to get out and get the heck out of Dodge and come back to, you know, South Carolina, where she stayed, got married, had kids, grandkids, so on and so forth, and just lived out her life. Now, there was a little bit of contradicting research there, because there's an Anne Bonny who's like, there was parish records for a burial of Anne Bonny in 1731 as well. So the question is, did Anne Bonny die on the island in her early 30s? Or did she flee and live a nice long life up until her 80s? I think I'm going to leave that one up to you. But so ends the story of Anne Bonny and Mary Read, besties and pirates. If you liked my retelling of this tale, feel free to rate and review 5 stars. Please not 4, or 3, or 2, or 1. And don't throw steel rivets at me. I can't handle it. I don't have the face for it. So if you liked, I would be amazing if you could rate and review. Share it. If you are wanting to come to one of the live shows, get your tickets in fast. Because for me, if nothing else, the sooner I can sell out a show, the more it shows other places that I can sell out shows, which means I can go visit more places and go do things. So it's just, I know it's more awkward now because you have to travel, but so do I. But the sooner these go, the sooner I get to the next thing, and then we can start like really getting the ball rolling with more like events and other fun, cool shit. But I guess it is recommendation time. For watching, I shouldn't say Muppet Treasure Island. I'm going to say Muppet Treasure Island. Go fuck it, go watch it. I don't care, go watch it. For reading, I am going to go with this amazing book called Bold, Brilliant and Bad, Irish Women from History. It's by Marion Broderick. It's very good. It's very fun. And for listening, go listen to the Nerdy Up North podcast, okay? They're awesome, they're funny, and they deserve all the love. Okay. Oh, one more thing. Don't forget, if you are buying your sexy toys, or just sex toys, as they're known, marital aids, perchance, then if you're buying them, buy them from sexshopper.ie. sexshiopa.ie, and if you use the code HARLOTS10 at checkout, you'll get a discount, and it's running to like mid-March, so get it soon and get your fun stuff now. Okay, with that, I shall bid you good night. Adios, au revoir, au revoir, my friends. Bye-bye.